Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May 30th, 2005, final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller and Mike Patton are the speakers on this service.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Mike's going to come this morning now and conclude our morning teaching.
Well, I guess there's a payback for everything, and some of you got to know me, and I love you, and I like to pick on some people, but I do it. Trust me, I do it with a heart to just, I just want to see everybody healed and set free. And Brother Glenn gave me a chance to talk a long time ago. First time I came on a Sunday. I wasn't 100%. I came at not on a Sunday. I came at a time, I forgot when it was, but not a conference. I didn't tell the whole reason I came. I wasn't trying to be deceitful, but I wanted to come here and find out if this was what I prayed in my heart it would be, you see. Is that diplomatic or not? Well, I found out it met and exceeded all my expectations. I got to spend time riding around with Glenn, and all we did was help people all day long, all day long. And lots of them, because he gets in that vehicle and we move on out. I am a military man, and most of my friends are. My best friend, Oliver North, worked for him, and so did the guy that now runs, I think it's Federal Express. Again, 3 tours in Vietnam, shot down twice. His boss said he was what they made Rambo after, and he said the IQ test Marine Corps won't even fit. He got me, it doesn't even fit. And he was a wonderful person. And he and I used to, I'll tell you, I'll get to start again later where we used to run around and really cast those devils out and heal the sick. But I'm going to name this. Usually you listen to tape and you try to figure out what the theme is, you name it. So I named this Apropos Christian Hodgepodge. Now, don't think for a minute that means something deprecating. You see, sometimes a guy like me, my objective is always to set you free. But it's to get you to attack the devil like a mad dog after a piece of raw meat or a one-eyed cat in a fish factory. Because if you will go for it, the scriptures promise you the Lord will meet you there. Now don't get too excited. Now, Gail's going to hand out some cards, and we've done this in Europe and different places, Switzerland, Germany, and Canada and places, and I don't see why, it may seem a little simplistic, but what it is, I just want you to jot down a few of your least favorite devils. And the people I'm talking to that are on this tape, it will help them a lot because they'll be able to see that your devils and their devils pretty much 90-something percent of the time will be the same devils. And that really helps because, see, a lot of times we can be a little, like, you know, even me, I find myself, I'm supposed to have a little bit of maturity, and yet I'm trying to hide a devil of pride. You know, I was spent a month over in Switzerland, and we had big meetings and going 21 nights, and the last meeting was 17 hours and casting out thousands of devils. I came back. I won't tell you where I was because it doesn't really matter. A real humble black guy sitting beside me casting out a spirit of pride. I really didn't think I had it. But then the Lord said, well, Mike, what do you tell people? I said, I tell people if you thought you had it, you wouldn't have it because you've gotten rid of it by now. Does that... some of what I say might not make a lot of sense, but think about it for a while, you know. Now, I always... Coming up, you know, I have been in this a long time. Now, I used to sit back and listen to the people say, we're in the way. Now, I know you're not supposed to have a critical spirit, but the critical spirit in me was saying, yep, brother, you are in the way. Now, my prayer is that at my age now, I don't get in the way. So, I know I might have run to catch up with some of y'all because you seem to learn more in a short span of time. And it's taken me right at 60, I'll be 60 in July, 60 years to learn. And I would tend to be jealous except for I know we got to have it in today's world. And in my area, if you find a guy that could go to work for me that had a driver's license and wasn't taking methamphetamine, you know, it'd be a miracle. Now, I know that I'm not stretching now. I'm not speaking evangelistically. That's a sad thing. I did have one time I had the opportunity of leading a young Indian boy to Christ right before he blew his brains out and some other things. I can tell you, I won't go into, I may tell some things that may seem to be like you'd think, well, guys got a big ego, and I hope not, because what I will do anytime with you, I'll sit down with you and you'll laugh and cry. But when you cry, you'll really cry, because I a long time researched what I thought were the best Christians, all the best Christians I knew, and trying to find a common theme between them that would separate them from the rest of the pack. And I don't want to discourage you, because I'm in this cast these devils out and heal the sick too, but that one thing was suffering. I mean, even the Lord says, if you don't suffer, you're a bastard. You know, there are some running around, they're bound to be, or the Bible wouldn't even talk about it, right? It's not up to us to decide who he is, but, you know, we need to get to where we can handle suffering just like we can prosperity. Now, I watch the people around here, and I'm hoping, you know, one of my prayers, and y'all can pray for me, I'll get like that I'll smile when I'm full of pain, right, sister? It's not easy, but the devil hates it. A simple smile seems meaningless, doesn't it? But do you know, if you ever, sure, all of us been in here had some subject to a mocking spirit, I'm sure, if you've been in deliverance long. Well, when you're smiling, even when you're in pain, and you say even look in the mirror, that's, you know, that's mocking those things. It really, I don't know why, but this is an experiential thing. Lest, you know, if you want to get in the Bible, you'd look up scriptures on the joys of strength and things like that. But I'm trying to bring it down into KISS, keep it simple, stupid. In the military, I got to teach all the weapons things. You could shoot it. I was a part of it. I was youngest armor officer in the U.S. Army one time, I think. But I used to have to make lessons plans. And I'll be honest with you, teaching is really tough for me, because my wife, I think, is out there, some great teachers in here, and they go point to point. When you go away, you really have got something. But God, let me read you something I think God gave me last night to take myself off the hook. Sometimes we tell stories. Well, now, Brother Clement, I thought was going to take me off the hook, because I was looking for one of these older, and I say older, I mean more knowledgeable people to do an impartation. And Brother Clement and I were back and back, and we were out there, and everything shut down. And I asked him for an impartation. Boy, he put one on. He's pretty strong, and that was good. But then he said something about, well, later on I experienced it. My mind, scriptures were going through them, bam, bam, bam. Stories were going through, bam, bam, bam. I'm thinking, well, now who did I get the impartation to? I mean, hundreds of them. I could have stayed up all night preaching, I guess. But then also he said, the second, I got to thinking, he was talking out there, and he said, oh, I don't sleep. Oh, gosh, he's back there. I didn't think he was there. I wasn't going to talk about him, you know, but, you know, he'll set you on fire. We talked about things like, you're talking about a man, you know, he leaves here tired, and, you know, he's already given away all his money and runs across somebody on the street and picks him up and takes him home and gives him whatever he's got, and probably picks another people's pocket and gives them whatever they got too, you know, because that's what you do. I spent a year on the streets in New Orleans, and if I get to it, I'll tell you about my first encounter with a demon. It was, I wasn't the bravest person in the world, I'll tell you that. But anyway, let me give you the off my hook thing. I tell stories to teach and illustrate what God does, which helps us to understand better who He is, His kingdom, and how it operates, as well as how we are to operate in God's kingdom. Now, the reason I know that couldn't have been me, I'm too simple for that. You know, that was a pretty, you know. In other words, God showed me in the scriptures here, pastors sometimes, they don't like evangelists telling a lot of stories and things like that. But you don't tell a story to tell a story. A story is how you, you know, you are what you eat and what you say and what you do. Now, when I tell a story, what am I going to tell? I might tell them not what. I can tell them what I eat now because I'm getting a victory over it. But the times Brother Glenn, you know, elbowed me in the stomach and Doc and all I'm teaching. Well, I did some fasting. I'll tell you, I did a long fast. And back when I was really doing the ministry of the Lord, I was doing real long fast. But I'm letting God bring me back, you know, because I know when I try to force it and go a little too fast, you know, I'm liable to embarrass myself and everybody else too. Now let me take you to Scripture. Matthew 16, 18 through 19. And this is on, I tell you what, just put your Bibles down. I'm going to keep it really simple. Put your pencils down. I have a reason for all this. I'll just read it to you. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I didn't read it fast because I don't honor the word, but I have something to tell. I've been wanting to tell now for I don't know how long. Anyway, Dr. Noel had a teaching here. And you know, somebody say, well, did you learn anything here? Listen, I show up. I might not be the sharpest blade in the drawer, but I show up. In fact, at 3-star, I say, you can be a success in my company if you get up, show up, and shut up. Now I've got to work on the shut up, as some of you probably know, you know. Where was I before Carla got me? But, okay, this is really important. Because I'd gotten the minister, I got my hair cut at a beauty shop, which is a little hard for a guy like me to admit, but they were great in there, and I got to listen to, you know, I'm sick, I don't feel good, and I'm sitting there, I'm suffering, won't say something, and finally, a girl cut my hair, who owns the place, said, Mike, what do you think about it? I said, do you really want to know? I said, I'm ready to get her healed where I don't have to hear any more of this and stuff like that, so, got somebody healed and then somebody else and then somebody came in that had a devastating financial thing. Somebody stole more money from them than ever made. I mean, it was, they were pretty big money makers but stole a huge amount of money but went through forgiveness. A few weeks later, she made the biggest deal she ever had. You know, things were going on in this beauty shop. The beauty shop's not what I'm talking about. We're having a good time. You know, one thing that was coming out easy, and you love it when you get an anointing for some things to come out easy, and one of the things was depression. Ooh, that was great. Heaviness come off, depression come off, joy come in. So we go, everybody can have that. That seems to be almost a freebie. We can get you that, I think, through the anointing. But the story is, now, you know, I go through life like everybody else, but I was making jokes. Now, some of you couldn't even fathom that and carrying on some foolishness, but I was doing it about old age. And my mother had a real bad knee, and I was kind of mimicking her, oh, I got a bad knee too. Well, it wasn't long before I had a bad knee. I mean, a bad knee. In fact, I was in that knee, and I'm like, you're going up the steps. I'm not giving in to you. Well, you know, months and months, you know, I've never gone too long with something like that to get it well. But anyway, it got a little, kind of got through that. And then some time ago, I had jerked up luggage running through airports and stuff like that. And the devil wants to tell me I've got, you know, try to hit you with medical things like bursitis. But one time I cast a little gizmo out that was just sticking his beak in somebody. So I know it's not that. But anyway, I could pretty well handle that as we go along. And I'd been hurt real bad in college, in high school and college and football. I'd walked on two colleges, won a scholarship, and I was smaller than the water boy, 155 pounds and a linebacker. But I won't get into all that. But anyway, I've had my back hurt so badly, Novocaine didn't help, nothing would help. I mean, I've been to where I couldn't carry a pencil or crawl. Now, not so much, I don't think since I've been teaching healing all that much that's happened. But what happened one night was, and this was bizarre, I'm supposed to go to the beauty shop, and I just know we're going to have tremendous ministry. And I start to get up, and I can stand a good bit of pain. My dad was harder than nails, and he was an old country doctor. I remember breaking my shoulder to come in, taking a picture of it. Said, yep, see daylight through it. You know, or it didn't matter, but I had to wait for hours to even get there. So, you know, guys, broken things, torn things, go ahead, go with pain in the military. You say, hey, you know, if you, pain is, you don't even acknowledge it. So, I don't want to get into the mind control thing. But anyway, back to the important thing is how Dr. Noel's teaching. And why I'm telling you this is it's very important to listen to everything carefully. I actually couldn't get out of bed. I tried. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't get to my cell phone. My mother's 80-something years old. Gail had gone to Atlanta to see her dad. I was there and I'm thinking, boy, this is great. I'm supposed to get up and go down there and minister. He didn't deliver as much as people probably expecting it. I'm laying here and I'm in such bad shape. I can't. And if I did call my mother, it'd be too embarrassing. Probably if I'd had a gun, I'd have shot myself. Now, shouldn't have said that. But, you know, have you ever felt like 2 cents hunting change? None of you here, I'm sure. Well, it was pretty bad about that time. So, what I did, I laid there and I said, now, if I were ministering to somebody, I'd just ask you, what didn't you tell me? And all of a sudden, the light hit me. What had I forgot to do? And it was all happening in an instant. And about that time, the Lord showed me how I'd been talking about old age and stuff like that and how that thing had come on to me. Making jokes, yeah, but the devil didn't care that I was making jokes. He had some stuff he could put on me, and he put it on me. And I mean, it wasn't a little bit of pain. When I'm saying I couldn't get up, and if I could, it'd been crawling, there would be no way to get dressed. But in an instant, the Lord showed me, I don't want to call it a vision or whatever, let's say a mini vision, but I saw these little round heads, and it represented, I guess, see, Dr. Null had given a teaching that had to do with, he was casting devils out and still having the affliction. But there was a whole line of devils. And see, I have never heard that anywhere. I had never used anywhere. And I saw these little ball-headed gizmos in my vision. And the Lord allowed me to, because I've got a little bit of evangelist in me, lasso them. And I threw a couple up against the wall. And man, they squalled and spattered. And so I'd really got vigorous. And boy, by the time I got through that, I jumped up out of that bed and said, we were ready to go. Well, what did I really say there? I said, come to the teachings. You know, because it's easy. Listen, all of us are unstrained. You go, you come down here and drive 10 hours. It's easy to, you know, psych out or make excuses to do anything. And it's hard sometimes to drag yourself up and out, but I went through that a lot quicker. I could have, and someday I do want to elaborate more, but I'm telling you, if I hadn't first gone to God, like, duh, you know, if you came to me for help, I'm going to ask the Lord what to do for you or tell you to do or something, you know, and you're going to get all right. And I began to feel sorry for myself. And then it hit me. I hadn't even, you know, I'd done all these things, come out and this. I hadn't asked the Lord what He wanted me to do, but what He was trying to do was to show me that this vision that Dr. Null had is a tool that we can use in the body of Christ as the Lord leads. Is that fair to go along that line? And that's binding and loosing. I mean, and boy, did I bound them, but when I unloosed them, I mean, that lasso, as they came out, and there was a bunch of them. But about halfway through, I was enjoying it. They were screaming, hitting the wall, spattering. I don't always see spirits. My wife, you know, others, know that I do from time to time. It's as the Lord wills. I can't just all of a sudden decide I want to see that. If I do, then y'all going to have to get them witchcraft devils out. And some of y'all that I've had some fun with would sure be rough on me with witchcraft devils. So I won't be doing that. It is fun. In fact, Dr. Null, throwing those things up against the wall, as much pain as I'd been, and I had not 1 ounce of pain when I got through that. In fact, I felt like Superman, you know. I mean, you go a little too far that way, too, but, you see, Satan had set me up. I didn't mean to balk my mother, but I was trying to bring her around, quit all this, you know, and I don't know, I was making some jokes, and the devil, he weaved a web, and I was talking a little with Patty yesterday, and I see this a lot in our lives and other people's lives, that the devil will have us, you know, weave his web around us, and sometimes that's all we can see or hear or feel, but the Lord's always got, you know, he's always got the big picture going. And sometimes we need ministry, or you need to help other people to be able to see, you know, see through, you know, what the devil's doing to what the Lord's doing, and that brings revelation and whammo, bango, you know. But I think the whole body of Christ needs to hear about the divine loosing and why it's been so long. I've wanted to testify about it for a long time, but the time never presented itself. So after Clem and I talked till everybody went to bed, and I'm supposed to talk today, and left all my stuff because Stu back there came with me, and some of us big boys, I left all my materials, didn't plan to teach anything, just decided to come down here and have a good time. And I have had a good time. In fact, I shouldn't tell this, but don't let Patty charge you for having a good time. So, I know one of these days she's going to give me a bill for having a good time down here, and I won't be able to pay it. And I know some of the rest of you feel like that because I've talked to you. Satan set me up, but God always has a big plan. Look at David's life. Look at Joseph's life. Look at Paul and Peter. Just about any of them. You see, if they just lived in that little bitty plan that God had them for them, can you imagine Joseph? I mean, I know I've heard about his arrogance and stuff like that. My goodness, how many of you, if God gave you a dream, wouldn't go tell about it? He's just a kid. You know, I mean, I don't think he was all that bad a guy. I think he's pretty normal, you know, and I don't think he did it with malice. He may have. I've heard different teachers on it. But nonetheless, that's a pretty, you know, you could if you were there, you could say that's pretty severe, you know, for what I did. I'm not even sure he really knew why they did it, and I'm not sure they did, because, see, they were demon-inspired, and that's what we've got to realize. We've got to look at people, and somehow God gave him grace to forgive them, and today we know all about forgiveness, yet God gives us grace to forgive as soon as we begin to hold something in our heart against somebody, because all it is a trap for us. Oh, I got here beauty shop minister hat started out having. I think I already told a little about it, but it was pretty interesting because I was sitting there and I just couldn't, I didn't think I could stand to hear another, she's going to die and, you know, this, that, and other. And when that gal gave me the shot, though, she said, there's something about an operation. What do you think, Mike? And I think, well, I said, you can go get chopped up. My dad's a doctor. Everybody in the county knows him, old country doctor. I mean, there's plenty of that kind of stuff. Or you can let God heal you and doesn't cost you anything. Thing and you're going to feel a lot better. So that's the way we got started. Thank God the woman's a wonderful Christian. She didn't know anything about this kind of stuff and nobody in there. And it seems like about every time I go, something like that happens. So anyway, that's a beauty shop ministry. Boy, we did have one round though. In other words, there was a lot of them that doggone spirit of, you know, get you to depression, and then, of course, depression wants to ride you on down the rail to suicide. But, you see, and then I'm gonna go somewhere else now. I'm a minister over in Switzerland, Germany, a few places, and I don't mean that big deal, but I ran across, supernaturally, God showed me something that just floored me. I mean, I could hardly, I didn't know at first how to take it, because I asked the Lord to show me. A person came up, sold out Christian, been at it a long time, do anything for God. And God showed me a bunch of bricks in it. Now, I'm not proud of this, but I used to teach hand-to-hand combat and karate and all those things. Trust me, I'm done with that. I don't even believe in killing you. I die, I don't mind dying, but I'm not going to kill anybody. I might make them wish they're dead by casting devils out, but, you know, that's the only thing I'm interested in now. Anyway, showed me these bricks. I couldn't, you know, I mean, I'm just in there looking at a pile of bricks, like you used to break. I used to hit a 2.5-inch board or concrete block. I get 12-year-old kids busted. But we got them all saved, and I would never do that stuff again. But anyway, so I'm seeing these bricks. And the next question, God, now that you show me this, what I do with it? I said, well, break them. And I did. Now, don't think got me back into karate, and he got free. So the Lord kind of gave me a freebie to start with. And, oh, that guy was so free. Well, gosh, I ran into that of about a third of the people. We're talking hundreds of people. One of the meetings lasts 17 hours, just soaked in sweat. But some bricks we'd have to take one at a time out of that, and they were disappointment bricks. Disappointment. And I said, well, what, you know, what's the devil up to, Lord? And he said, well, God said, the devil wants to build, put a disappointment here and a disappointment. He wants to get you to a place where you can't even believe God. I said, man, that is diabolical. That is diabolical. To get a Christian where a Christian can't even get them to unbelieve, where they can't even believe God. So we disassembled some brick walls and we smashed some others, but we, you know, that was, I think, a revelation. God, because disappointment, how bad does that sound? Pretty bad if you know where the devil's going with it. You know, you think, well, disappointed, everybody's been disappointed. Now, I'm going to talk about something that I've talked about for many years. I know is real, and I'm not talking about individuals because some of the individuals have helped me a lot, and so we're not talking about individuals. Years ago in California, this was after the, seemed like after the, I used to cast shepherdship devils out all the time. People invite me over and we'd cast shepherdship devils out and set people free and all. But the faith thing was really big, and there's nothing wrong with the faith thing. But God showed me something that I'm just going to say here, because this allowed for a lot of disappointments to set up in people. I said, Lord, these men are good men. They're men of God. They're preaching the word. But something's wrong because I'm getting all kind of people coming to me. One gal had been married 9 times and said that she had quoted the word in the Bible, and she was going to get her first husband back. Now picture this. He's married and got a few kids. So it takes a long time to work through those things if they really get that in them. So I had to cast a lot of faith spirits out. Now, but what happened was, I was asking the Lord, Lord, you know me, I'm controversial. I don't need any more heat, but show me what I'm up against. He showed me this big circular room, and a lot of the well-known people were in it, and they were all talking at once. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Mike, tell me who each one is. I said, I can't. Their voice all sounds alike. He said, don't you know what that is? It's a demon, of course. Now, I look at a demon of one thing just like a demon of something else, a demon of cancer. Out in California, hadn't been there. Oh, I'm in this church, and assistant minister comes up to me and says, Mike, there's someone that wants you to see her in the hospital. She's got cancer. Who is she? He didn't really know her name. Somebody contacted the church, said he saw me in a vision. I said, how did he saw me in a vision? I ain't been out here that long. You know, I mean, I didn't understand it, but I said, I'll go. Gail, you remember this. You hadn't told this, have you? Okay. So anyway, we go up to the university hospital, and she was dying of cancer and in a coma. Went in there, and she was still dying when we got there. And all these nurses were back here. You know, I mean, we're talking pretty hardened if you've seen all they've seen through the years. And we went in there and ministered. I thought pretty good. But at that time, you know, there was no apparent immediate manifestation. Why, sure, did she raise up? I don't remember. This is two different things. No. All right. But once Gail went back downstairs and assistant pastor came back up, and these nurses were all, or he came back up. He came back to the car all excited. It forgot your purse, didn't you? Is that it? And these nurses were all excited and were praying. He was floating. She got up the next day and was out of there and went home. Now, I would like to say this, the bed. Oh, they were all, see, they went from being hardened, you know, to, hey, you know, because they were mocking and all that. Not the same thing. I understand. Hey, I am a warrior. I'm not talking about medic. I mean, I don't want to go into it, but I, military, my friends are, you know, special forces, Navy SEALs. One of my guys was, he was one of our guys that weren't supposed to be in soldier in Leo. So, you know, it's just, but anyway, I'd like to say, and boy, everybody was happy. She was healed. You know, it came back. And you know, when somebody gets well and all, I mean, doctor knows that you feel so good. You love to catch it. You know, it doesn't bring any honor, money, nothing like this. You just want to get people free and help them. It's that simple. I mean, it's not hard. It's not, and all of us want to do it. But I'm going to go back to how you do it. You do it. But anyway, it's been quite a long time, and then I heard that she had a relapse. Well, I hate to say it, but when you do it right, you don't have a relapse. So I went over there, and they asked some little Baptist boy, asked if he could go learn how to do what I did, whatever that is. Because I didn't think I was that strange, but a lot of people did. Anyway, we were standing there, and she was laid out in a cot. This was in her home, and I commanded this demon to come out, and she belted up. She raised up in bed, her eyes got big, and a man's voice, she said, he said, I've got her, and I'm going to kill her. And I said, no, you ain't got her, and I'm going to get you out. And he fainted, so he didn't know what happened later. I mean, like in the cartoons. Now, this was a good kid. Every weekend, the reason I let him come, he'd go to Mexico. He had a little wife, didn't have any money. They'd go down there and put their heart out. Because you generally don't like to have somebody that won't have belief. But he had that Baptist zeal. Never, you know, don't discount anybody. This thing, if they got the want to, and you need to help them with the rest, do it. But if they got the want to, and he wanted to. But anyway, now here's the part that's the non-victory part. I got that thing gone, and we talked. And she said, I'm gonna go ahead and die. I said, ma'am, you don't have to get you out and get dressed and we go shopping or something. No. And I finally got it out of her. In the back room, the relatives had been talking about her life insurance, the bills from the hospital and all like that. Into her heart came that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that brought? Set up. And that old demon came right in, and I honestly couldn't. I went out of there weeping because I could not convince her it'd be better to live than die. Anyway, I shouldn't even tell that, I guess. But that's, you know, we were supposed to tell all this. You know, yes, sir. And you not wanting it at all.
We had prayed her through cancer, and she'd gotten healed of cancer, and then her husband was in his wreck, and they were in the wreck, and she was in intensive care with a crushed chest, and I went into intensive care and laid my hands on her chest and commanded her, and that chest solidified, and she went out, and she had a fractured hip. Now, she was a good Baptist lady. She didn't believe in praying in tongues. She didn't believe in healing. She didn't think this was for today, but I prayed for it, and she got out. But she tried to get up out of bed, and her hip hurt so bad that they x-rayed it until she had a fractured hip. And she told me I had a fractured hip. I had her put her hand on the hip and commanded that hip to be healed. And she got up out of that bed and walked down the hall. And about a month later, the cancer came back. And she was lying in bed dying. And I went in to pray the cancer out of her. And I was praying, you know, and I called that cancer out. And I looked at her and I said, how do you feel about this? She said, I want to be with Billy and John. Those are the two that died. I said, what about? And I named the other two children. Family will take care of them. I just want to go be with Billy. And that night.
Well, that is the way it is. We can't impose our will on people. You know, we don't want to get over there at witchcraft. We are there, you know, I wasn't first. I mean, I'm getting like the rest of them. I could go on for days now that I got to lose things. And y'all didn't want another one, right? Like the bunch. But anyway, well, a little good of this came because a young boy got some teaching in Mexico and never be the same. Boy, he really waded into those Spanish talking devils, I'm telling you. So, you know, there's God again, had a big plan, all that. The woman's in heaven. I hate that some of this talk that she overheard. Sure, see, I'm not saying they were evil and meant for her to hear it, but you see what I mean? Bills can get, you know, you see what I'm saying there? I know they want her healed, and yet they're counting on her dying if you can handle that. That's just the way it was. I guess with all this baloney, I need to talk about how I got started. It was about as unmagnificent as the rest of my stuff, if you want to, if that's the way. I want to talk about it, but Gail and I was supposed to go to work for the biggest money-making law firm in the Southeast. The head of it had been president of the American Bar Association, but the only reason I had a law degree, but the only reason was I had, I guess, helped their family. This gal had a kid that, yep. No, it was that, what do you think, when you see stuff backwards and all that, you know? Dyslexia, and she'd be patterning him and doing this and doing that. And then, and I said, you care if God heals him? And so we went in, I went in to see him. Again, I'm not done. Listen to what the Lord says. Keep that in mind when I'm telling these stories. So God told me to break his records. This kid made all F's. He's from a rich family. Everybody hated him. He had no friends. All he had was to stand there and play his records. Well, he broke those suckers while we both cried. But God delivered him. And, you know, he's making A's and B's. He's having friends. But, my goodness, was that hard, you know, because it, I'm not far the records. I didn't like any of them anywhere, you know, and I don't know. He was just a little kid, 9 years old or something. I don't remember. But anyway, that was how I was supposed to go to work for the firm. And, you know, it's my parents putting pressure, and everybody thought I ought to do something real in my life and all that kind of baloney you go through. And gee, can't even tell you how much baloney you can go through. So I'm going to motions of trying to do something real. And I go up and interview, and the real sharp guy, their sharpest attorney other than the older fellow, he, you know, was had an American bar, but his son ran, he's pretty sharp. But this guy, named Alex, he was really sharp. I went in, sat down. I already had the job. He said, "Mike, you know what we do? Yes, you fight for the underdog. You know, you talk about a Pollyanna." And I'd worked in the courthouse, and I was the only worker at another law firm. It was a really good law firm, real estate law firm with five lawyers, and I was a hard worker. My dad was tough, and kind of like these guys. I worked hard. So that went, that goes across pretty good, even with the suits, you know. They're used to people coming out of them fancy colleges and sipping on coffee. Anyway, Alex got me in there. Don't know why I'm telling, must fit something. But he said, "Mike," he basically, in a real diplomatic way, showed me if somebody was hurt, how they, had them act before a jury. I said, "I can't do that." He didn't say another word. So that blew my, and this, that was a long time ago. Those guys started at $250,000 a year, if you imagine that, you know, and I didn't come from a Yale law firm. I mean, I went to Birmingham School of Law. I taught college, 3.5 hours away in Selma, Alabama, which is 100 stories down there, but we'd never get away. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It may be a little controversial, but this marks what I believe, what little success that I've had, And if I can find the right scripture that fits that, you'd think after saying that I would. But it's in Mark, I got Matthew. From this gal's Bible, I didn't even have my Mark Bible here, but redneck, you know. I'm Mark 16:14-3. Don't turn to it, because I'm going to tell you about it. It started at 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believed and baptized should be saved. He that believed not should be dead. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up..." Now, here's where the controversy will start. And I've got to be real careful so you don't misunderstand this. I believe, after being in this a long time, too many people put it off on God. I got another scripture. If you remember the scripture where the epileptic son came up, and his father said, "Hey, these disciples you got, these apostles, can't cast him out." So Jesus came over. He didn't say, "Hey, you should have come got me. You should have talked to God." He said, "Cause your unbelief, I'm basically getting sick of you." I could go into the scripture, and you can go to it and look at it. But he was chewing them out because they didn't do it. Now, I can go through and get lots of scriptures, but I honestly believe in my heart I am supposed to do it. Now, does it help if the person is full of belief? Yes. But my goodness, if you'll run across people, I run across, the devil's got them so beat down they can't pay attention. When I first came here, I needed love. They let me stand up here, Glenn did, on a Sunday, and all I could do was boo-hoo. And he said to me, "Is that all you got? Or
something to that effect. I mean, he was nice, always nice to me, but we had Tom Stone had to come up and say, oh, I stood up and I'm full of it. You know I am. But if old Tom hadn't been there, I guess I'd just been crying the whole time, you know, and slobbering. But what had happened, see, I came looking for the real thing. I found too much of it for one time. That's why you have to keep coming back and back and back. If they unloaded all the love and everything they got here one time, the average human couldn't handle it. Me being average, I wouldn't be able to handle it. But that's the one scripture, or the scriptures I want you to look at as you go through the Bible, and look at it in a little different light. You know, I think we could go through several, and I'm not saying these scriptures are quoted, you hear them all the time, and I'm not taking anything away from any other teacher. You know, I believe if God gave only one scripture in the whole Bible to us, he could teach the whole world something new and different that was Him. So, but I think if we will start saying, I have people come up to me and say, it's not you doing, brother, it's Jesus. Well, I believe I've got a calling to it. Let me tell you my story. And this is, you'll like this, Cheryl. I really believe you'll get a kick out of this. We're in this farmhouse. Okay. Parents put terrific pressure, you know. Yeah, we're preaching the word and doing what we can. Heal the sick, cast out devils. But really not doing anything of any substance, if you know what I mean. So, in some people's mind, anyway. So, I decided, I've got to find out what to do. You know, I mean, I'm responsible to make a living. So, we're praying and fasting and praying and fasting and praying and fasting. Now, we're no farmhouse that the wind blows through and the rain and everything. And they were on a cold strike, and we had a heater with fire bricks in it. And it'd take all day throwing wood in it to heat it up. But we did at night when it snowed. It didn't snow much in Alabama, but during this time it's snowing. Anyway, I was praying, fasting, and the Lord said, set my people free. I said, okay, I know what I need to do. I didn't pray and fast long enough. You know, I'm wanting dreams and visions. You know, I'm a simple person. I should have thought, well, God's going to deal with me in a simple way. But so I went really praying and fasting this time. So I'm listening to God. He said, now, this is after a lot of, you know, we're cold. We're a lot of things going on, pressures, you know, these things, these tribulation type things that we're supposed to know and smile. I wasn't doing either. But God said, set my people free. I said, Lord, who do you think I am, Martin Luther King? I said, I can't set my people free. So I prayed and fasted. That was at a time, some of you will get it from the older ones, what was going on. But anyway, I said, so a little later, I decided to pray and fast again. But then what happened? This calm, peace. God showed me that, yeah, I got to make a living. That's up to me, you know, make a living. He's going to make sure we don't starve. Promises are food and clothes and drink. Didn't promise us. You know, I'll tell you another story where he actually told me I was kind of whining to him a little bit, kind of, because people like me don't actually whine unless they're telling the truth. I was whining. And the Lord said, I didn't promise you a rose garden. Turn on this radio, going out to work. I was in Hyman, Kentucky. If you've never been to Hyman, Kentucky, I spent a year there living in the Corps Engineer building because there's only one air-conditioned building in the town. A lot of good stories from that. I mean, I'm so, as Carla said, are you the one that said I was so full of baloney, or you just thought it? Sometimes, you know, when you have the gift of wisdom and knowledge, you pick up things and you don't, you know, they don't have to say it. Anyway, this, keep in mind, there's supposed to be some substance to the stories. I need to get there, don't I? Actually, oh, well, what it was, that's the only person I knew that was, you know, that was setting people free. He didn't, you know, I said, I was, you know, I mean, he was bigger than life down where I was, you know what I mean? That's why I said that. Who do you think I am? Like, for instance, if he had told me to build an A-bomb, I'd say, who do you think I am, Albert Einstein? You know, it's that kind of thing. But see, God let me know, you know, that healing and casting out devils and things that people just didn't do around our place, you know. I got to tell this story. And really, I'm supposed to tell you some stuff of substance, but I'm going to tell you some stuff anyway. And just hope that substance is on over to you.
I'm down there doing that kind of thing, you know, and even my dad, I mean, everybody thinks I'm weird, so they don't, you know, they don't, nobody much gets around us, but my dad is a doctor, and he and this other doctor built the old country, the first hospital, the only one in the county, poor Conneaut County, not many people in it, and his partner, though, was a spirit-filled Christian, but still wasn't, I still consider to be a little different. So anyway, my dad came to me, which was very unusual, and he said, Dr. Gordon wanted me to ask you if there's anything that could be done for his son. Now, he'd gone down and had all the spinal taps. They said about him that he was, there's nothing they could do to heal him. If they test him anymore, they'd kill him. I don't understand, but he was fairly young. How old was he, Gil? You remember? Well, now, so, did I run down there and get him healed? No. The Lord told me to, if his dad would take him to Church of the Redeemer in Houston, Texas, this is from Texas, he'd be healed. A lot of times God would just tell you what to tell them, they do it, and he's healed, and what we talked, we went down to some class reunion I had, now he was a lot younger than us, but married a gal in our class about 10 years older, and anyway, she was there and excited and wanted everybody in our class to hear Gene's still excited about getting healed by God, see. So you know, I hear some of this stuff, remissions and different things, and I'm thinking, I hate hearing all that because our God wants to get us 100%. You know, I believe really that a lot of times we don't get ourselves, if we get 100%, you'd just be amazed how much more deliverance we'll get and we can give. And see that? That should motivate some of you. We're not just getting deliverance for ourselves. I told several people lately, and Gail may think I'm hard-hearted. Sometimes I think she does. I've told them, look, if you want to be healed and delivered, just to be healed and delivered, at one time I'd have done it. I'd done whatever it took. But if you don't want to be healed and delivered to serve God with all your heart and set other people free, I don't want to do it because that's what I feel like God's calling me to now. I really believe that He showed me that. Now, that sounds a little cold, and trust me, I wouldn't stick to that 100%. You know, that'd be kind of stupid. But I really do believe that we have to start going out there. How can you make a mistake if the Lord said, signs and wonders will follow, He be with you? You know, you can't. I don't see how you can make a mistake. He's even in charge of the mistakes. And around here, you've got people that cover your mistakes with their love and every other way. So, you know, it's a safe place. I've told a lot of people this is a safe place, and that's a good way I've got of describing it. In our ministry, this is something. I was at a revival. We had a really good revival. Crippled, healed, and all kinds of, out of wheelchairs. The guy had been in there 25 years. He's ministering gospel. This is back in a little area 10 miles from me. Bill Hammond had prophesied. I got a bunch of prophecies from him at different times around the country. Another guy named Dick Mills, but one of them had to do with a revival being near. And anyway, during this thing, I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do around here? I have a feeling you want me to do something. I was strongly impressed to put on a suit and go to the radio station and try to get on the station, but it's a heathen station. I knew the guy. He'd go back and forth to Vegas every month, involved in all kind of... a good enough guy for the world, you know, fun-loving guy, like to go get drunk, everybody liked to be around him. Anyway, I said, I didn't really want to do this. It's just not my thing. I am a street preacher kind of guy. I spent a year on the streets in New Orleans. Everywhere I'd travel, I'd go out on the streets and God just lead me, and there wasn't any hassle, wasn't religious spirit. It just seemed like there was New Orleans. I spent a year there, and the two biggest classes of people that I dealt with were those that had Bibles stuck in their belt that had actually come down to throw their life away, and they would admit to stealing from God or doing this or lying or doing something like that. And then the other one was Vietnam. You talk about the misery of having ripped somebody's pregnant woman's stomach open and pull the baby out. And see, I was a big part of that because I was training people for Vietnam, and it was brutal. Keep in mind, we were training people to go kill or be killed. I had one skit, and it wasn't a skit. It didn't turn out to be a skit. Two big old Marines and myself, and I was in part of the skit. It was hand-to-hand combat. Was
did anybody think they could stick Lieutenant Patton with a bayonet? We're down in people from all over the country.
Well, this little guy from, is it Tennessee or Kentucky? I remember he unsheathed that bayonet. And lesson plan called for a sheath bayonet, but I didn't want to tell him to sheath it because I wanted the reality of it. But he was flashing it. I finally got him down and I said, boy, if you don't turn mumble, 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 you know. But you had to make it as real as you could. Oh, I did some things that, you know, demons, I had plenty. People were crawling under the wire, you know, and I was going along the side, I'm counseling them. And this one guy said, those aren't real bullets. I said, stand up for 50 yards. I said, get up. I said, you're a wimp. And then at the end, we showed him the targets with all those holes in it. And he said, if I'd stood up, I'd have been dead. I said, that's right. Now, that's really tough. But see, they get you in there and it's have some compassion for these people when they come back because they were training like people like me. And I mean, it was tough. Am I proud of that? No. But I did. The Lord gave me grace. I tried to go to Vietnam, youngest Army officer in the United States Army, went through the armor basic, but I'd gotten in with a pinched nerve from football, and they caught it on the x-ray, and I didn't get to go. I got to stay in a guard unit. I got to keep going to Army schools, but God called me to just go to New Orleans, and there was a job there, but spend the nights on the streets, going where He led and directed me, and many, many stories. Tell about the demon. You know, all I knew was the turn or burn sucker, you know, leading people to Christ. I remember a bunch of big wheels were talking. I'm standing there bored. Somebody's turned to me and said, Mike, you got a lot of education. They're talking about a master's in business, law degree, and that kind of thing. What do you think? I said, turn or burn, suckers. You know, I mean, that's the way I feel because that's kind of what God puts in the street. There's a little bit too much of that attitude. And I'm down there for a long time. A lot of good things are happening. And I work across, which I wouldn't do now. But the Satan worshipers, I noticed there was all kind of different cults and stuff on the streets. And I walked through the roughest parts you could possibly go. But the Satan worshipers looked and they'd turn their head and that's how I'd spot them. But they told me they were going to teach me a lesson. And I said, you know, have at it. You know, and what can they do? I'm not afraid to die. I mean, I don't care. But being scared to death was not in that plan. So old big tough, you know, I'm laying in I hadn't been there in New Orleans really all that long, and I still had an efficiency apartment. I had to live across the bridge from downtown New Orleans in a place called Gretna because I would go down on the coast and go off and shoot stuff offshore with explosives. But anyway, I'm in this apartment, you know, and it's in the summer and it's hot, and I was just staying there temporary, so I didn't have an expensive place, a little cheap kind of air conditioner fan, hot as blue blazes. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the temperature just dropped like that. And I looked over in the corner, and it was dark, and I saw the biggest, ugliest, hairiest, with arms everywhere. And the only thing I was thinking about was that door wouldn't slow me up one bit if I wasn't afraid that sucker was going to grab me. Because I had this sofa rolled out like that, and I was looking at it. So I did one of these. pulled the covers on my head. I don't think I had the guts to tell that doctor. No, I hadn't talked about it one time. He did. And I said, oh, God, you know I'm be a different person tomorrow. I was in the deal-making business then, son. Well, it was after a while, the temperature started coming down, and it was gone. But what it did, it backfired because then I wasn't so flippant, as you can well imagine. Then the seriousness. I still hadn't come in the realm of a lot of things. I actually spent the time in New Orleans not knowing a lot of things I knew later on, but I learned a lot there. And one thing I learned is to get myself in trouble with the once saved, always saved people. And I've done that a lot. But you go down there, you'll learn something hurt. I had a homosexual guy, got him, you know, free. And I didn't know much about Castaneda, though. But I got him free. I had evangelist type deal, you know. And we just listened to God and tell him what to do. That's what God told me when I went down there. So that was working real good, you know. But this spirit came out of him, and he was wonderful. He just wanted to go win the world for the Lord, but he wanted to go win the homosexuals first. I said,
son, please don't do that. I'm still in my 20s. I'm not an old man, but I was just begging him not to do it. But he just had to go, and he went down there, and the next time I saw him, I looked in his eyes, and it was like looking into the pit of hell. You know, the Bible says the eyes are the window of the soul. You can see a lot of those devils in a person's eyes, you know. Eyes bugged out, his face turned blue. Now, I don't like tell failures, and I end up telling more today than I really enjoy, but you see, we are, even as deliverance ministry, we're subject to people's choice a lot of time, you know. You know, I would have actually slept on nails or walked on glass if I could have got him to. But boy, when they got him, hold on, the next time they got him. But there's a lot of good things that happen. I remember one time I let an old alcoholic hit, and I'd been there so long, I'd preach the gospel, so I'm in this, drop there, bap, bap, bap. You just have to realize what night after night after night. I mean, they actually pick some up that are dead in New Orleans and just throw them in the trash can. Now, that's not an exaggeration. Their prison down there, they do it different in New Orleans. It's under Louisiana law, old French Napoleonic law. They're tough. They got a different thing. But I would go around. I didn't. Should you preach to somebody that's drunk and passed out? Let me tell you why you should. Because I came back around, you know, around the corner. And this guy says, yeah, I'm free, guy. You know, all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay. And then I never saw a wino with a full uncorked bottle of wine the whole time I was down there. And here's one showed up to shove it in his hand. He turned it away, and we got that guy. I was able to get him a shave, haircut, and stuff like that, and send him back home after 26 years. A lot of people go to New Orleans to throw their life away. Good place to do it if you want to go. But there's a better if you want to. If you want to have life, this is much better. But the bright lights attract people. And sometimes I wanted to get over in the Switzerland stuff and really tell some weird stuff, but that's where we had to just say, let God be God. But I will tell you one funny thing. This I got to tell you this. We've ministered how many times over there, Gail, in a 28, 6-day period or something? 25 times or something. I mean, and these were long. These were long meetings. These people came from all over, and they stayed, like I said, lasting 17 hours. These were meetings. And one thing it said, we never leave until everybody got ministered to. Now, I wasn't running things, but the guy that we minister with, he would basically do the mass stuff and let me handle all the individuals, as he said, the problems, which there was plenty of those. But I noticed every night as we got started, the pastor who hosted all this over there, he had a bunch of churches and stuff. He's the one setting up the meetings all. He would say a bunch of stuff, and they would look back at Gail and I and laugh. Or sometimes Gail would be sitting on front, and he'd look back at me and laugh. I just didn't think anything about it. And so I'm standing by this guy, and the last night they were really hooting. And he looked at me like, are you really that dumb? He didn't say that, but he said, do you know what they're saying? I said, I ain't got a clue. But he said, now, this is going to be unusual. You'll be asked to do things you never thought you'd do and all kind of this. He'd just go and they'd just be laughing. I didn't know what they were saying, but do it anyway and they get healed. They were talking about Gail now. Now, if I'd heard that the first time, I'd been too intimidated to probably do what I'd hear God tell me to do. And so, but it was a lot of things that happened were things that you just have to let God be God. They were wild and woolly, a lot of it, but tremendous freedom and deliverance. The difference is, see, this is established where people can come here. I don't know really of any place like here, and I've been a few other places, nothing like exactly. Now, the reason my main teaching was to go over, and I've got these scriptures written down, but I just want you to go through. I want you to particularly look at the youth and what. See, I want you to particularly focus in on what the Lord's taught us to do, because I was lying in bed, and the Lord said, now, Mike, yes, Lord, this is true, but you're going to have to be careful how you teach it, because the devil can use this to make people think you're a big deal, or if you're teaching this, that you're not saying the Holy Spirit
But see, when Jesus died, we don't mind saying, you know, when he died, it was all done 2,000 years ago. Well, he also went to heaven. And we're down here as his brother, and we are charged to do what he said do with the direction of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, we don't take the responsibility for that. Is it because we can't handle it? But I have found something, and I know how hard that can be, but I have found a trick on the devil. You're going to love this. He will give up. But you can't lose if you don't give up. If you don't give up, he will lose. And you will learn a lot, and you'll get better, and you'll be quicker at it. But the one thing the devil's got going for him is we'll quit a lot of times. Like you take a guy like Clement. Do you think the devil hadn't tried to keep he and his wife from feeding the poor and helping everybody? He keeps them as broke as he possibly can. You think that if this camp got remunerated for what it did or what they did, well, they'd be multi-zillionaires. It's remunerated all right. The devil got plenty of troops left that aren't fooling with anybody else because nobody's giving them a hard time. So we need to all give them a hard time, though, so some of the pressure will be off Clement in the camp. You know, in other words, I believe if every Christian did what they were supposed to do, Satan's forces would be so scattered, it would be like he didn't have them anyway. I'm going to look and see if I think if there's anything that would miss that would be just that we shouldn't possibly miss this time, and I doubt it. One other thing, and I promise you, I am going to quit because I don't usually go near this long, and if I don't quit, cut my head off because I want to quit. But we talk a lot about who to help and who not. Yeah, he's ready. See, that brother's free. He's free enough that I gave him enough trouble. He'd help. Brother, we I will get it. Hey, I think you're loosening that bugger up. See, when you expose him in front of this bunch, you can color him gone. I like that. You know, I've been whamming on the pride area myself. So, but let me tell you something that I hear a lot of times that about the, and this is true, healing and deliverance of all children's bread. It is. There's no question about that. But don't just totally discount this heathen world. And I'm going to tell you why. I can't tell you how many people have come to Christ from being healed or delivered. And let me tell you one unusual story. There was a couple that, like Gail and I, these were multimillionaire oil people. We didn't have, you know, we were picking it with the chickens, if you know what I mean. I won't say what we were picking, but we were picking it with the chickens. But they liked us, you know, but we'd try to talk to them about church and, man, Utah, or not church, but, you know, getting born again, you know, and just the things we talk about, you know. Well, when that happened, they cut it off. What had happened? They'd gone to a little church. He had lost the business, lost space, lost everything he had, and the only thing they could do was run a bar that he could get for his mother-in-law or something, and they were doing that, but they wanted to take their little girl that they'd adopted to church. And they went in, and they didn't have much money then, but they were given a huge amount compared to what they had. He was a generous guy, generous people. And they told him, take their dirty money and get the H out of there. And they didn't darken the door of the church or anything else. Again, I'm not sure I wouldn't have been like that myself, see. So when you find out sometimes how people are, why they're the way you are, you can have some compassion too. So if you've got time, find out some things. You may find out, you may go from being hard-nosed to them, you just melt and wanting to get them free. And Mary, they want us to go with some, and Gail and I talked about it. We went to Las Vegas, stayed in Howard Hughes' suite, but we were there, and Mary got something hit her. She just got deathly ill, and I was scared. They were, you know, they didn't have children except adopted one, and they were just such fear and terror and everything like that. And I just finally I said, Mary, Mal, I know how y'all feel about this thing, but do you care if God heals you? And he was going to call Evan, but they were afraid she was going to die. You remember this, Gail? So I took her another room, and didn't have to, but did, and commanded that devil out, and she got healed. Well, Mary ended up getting born again. She ended up, every time she'd get sick, ringing the phone,
or anything. It'd be real serious, and she'd just get healed, boom, like that, because she expected it. She hadn't been around our bunch so long to know that that doesn't supposed to happen like that. You know what I mean? So I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to make a doctrine or not make a doctrine, but I'm saying let's take life to this sick and dying world. And that's it. I promise quit and I'm done. Thank you, God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.